Did it work?
It worked. It worked. It worked.
It works. Okay.
Can you believe it?
I think this is the first time we've been on time, actually, for a couple of weeks.
Yes, it is. It is the first time we've been on time.
And this is a different experience today. It really is.
Yeah, fortunately, we've got new things in store. We've got two guests, which is a first for Ghostly Talk, but
yeah,
it's important.
But the most important thing, though, real quick, is that I can breathe down here. For reasons personal, we're not smoking in the basement right now.
We are. Yeah, there is no smoke. This is a clean environment now.
It's like whoa. I mean, I can.
Earth friendly.
It's. I don't understand it.
It has to happen. Has to happen sometime. Might as well be now.
It feels good though.
And
it actually feels
healthy.
All right.
We're energized. We're raring to go. So
we gotta move quick here. So we have our guest. We have our first guest.
Yeah.
Who is a friend of the show. Real good friend of the show. Wonderful person. Mr. Mark Trimble, are you on the air?
I am here.
You are here.
Yes. Welcome to Ghostly Talk. Speaking of Ghostly Talk, this is indeed Ghostly Talk.
Uh-huh.
I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And, of course, Mr. Mark Kimmel is joining Ghostly Talk as well, author of Trillion and Decimal.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be commenting on some stuff shortly that aired about, what, UFOs?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
that, so, and then some. We got a lot to cover in a half an hour here.
So let's make it really quick, and I'll just say that Ghostly Talk Ghostly Talk airs live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer Radio Network. That's pioneer.rolo, ROLO.net. Our own website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com. So let's, with all those formalities out of the way, let's get directly to Mark Kimmel. Now, Mark, we enjoy having you on the show.
We love having you on
the show. We're so glad that we got you, even if it's only for a half hour. We're so glad we were able to get you on the show.
Well, and you know, I enjoy doing this show, so we'll have to do this again sometime.
Oh, I have so.
Oh, definitely, that goes without saying.
Yeah, that's,
oh,
that's
definitely.
That's a given right there. There's a lot going on.
We have something important to talk about tonight.
So let's get to it. What's up? Because I remember getting an email saying something about a show that was on some cable station.
Actually, it was on ABC.
On ABC, okay. A show on ABC.
Some cable station.
No, that's huge monolithic network. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it was unfortunately on the night that we had a huge show we had to play that night.
Yep.
So
that was the Disturbed show, right?
I asked my mom to tape it for me, and she, of course, forgot.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, good. But I still am interested to hear what Mark thinks about this.
Yeah, what was the show about, Mark, and why? You know, what's up with that?
Well, first of all, this was a two-hour special, ABC special. Peter Jennings, who's their anchor, the news anchor.
Uh-huh.
So this was a fairly important show, and it was all about UFOs.
Okay.
And extraterrestrial contact. So for a major network to even attempt this was a milestone. It has never happened before. No major broadcast network. I mean, there's some courageous guys like you all that are willing to talk about this stuff, but none of the major networks, they just don't touch this, okay?
Yeah.
And you can get a little on the Sci-Fi Channel, a little on the History Channel, but that's cable.
Mm-hmm.
This was major prime time broadcast, and so something is up. Now, what I think happened there, and I'm going primarily by the way in which Peter Jennings presented this thing.
Mm-hmm.
When he came on first, it was the Peter Jennings that we all know with the ABC Nightly News and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
By the end of the 2 hours, it was very evident that Peter Jennings really did not want to be here.
Really?
I mean, his facial expression had changed, his demeanor, everything. It was like, I want to get this over with.
Really?
So what they presented there in 2 hours was basically a rehash of all the stuff we knew about, beginning with Roswell and the Phoenix Lights and the, you know, the UFOs down in Mexico, and on and on and on. Now, some pretty good footage, and they had some very interesting people, and they interviewed them, and they, you know, they did a good job, as you would expect ABC to do. You know, they put a lot of money and time and so on into this, but what you could tell that it was so carefully orchestrated, so carefully done, in terms of what they put on and what they didn't put on. A number of my friends were interviewed for this thing were talking about their experiences and all this type of thing. They never made the final cut. A number of people wondered what happened to John Mack, who had done a lot of work back at Harvard with, examining people who've had direct ET contract. And he'd done this over 20 years, talking to people, all over the country. And John had died, unfortunately, in a so-called accident over in London, about a few months ago. And so they pulled the entire segment that they had done with him and put some other stuff in there.
Yeah.
So, the thing was very, very carefully orchestrated. So now you got to say, okay, what's going on here? So that's what I'd like to talk about tonight.
Well, when I heard that this was going to be on ABC, of all stations, I didn't even raise an eyebrow to that. I was like, okay, well, maybe they found some demographic out there that they could make some money off of, and just to pique their interest, because I know myself, I won't have anything to do with ABC. That's just my opinion. I won't have anything to do with the station. I think anything they put on there is pretty much garbage. That's my opinion. That's all it is. But then I heard, well, they're going to have a big special, two-hour special with Peter Jennings on UFOs. And I'm like, well, and my first reaction was like, well, they must have found some market. Apparently, the UFO community is growing, and we're going to see T-shirts and beer hats and all this fun stuff with alien heads on it pretty soon. That was just what I thought. And the next thing I did think about is exactly what Mark said was, well, something's up here. Why are they doing this?
Well, that's it, because the mega networks like that, that's one of the original networks.
Yeah, yeah.
And they control, they control a lot, of course, of... they have their own interest in satellite cable, but they also control, the airwaves.
Yeah.
They're one of, five or six major networks that control airwaves. Mm-hmm. So that covers all of North America.
Yeah.
So it's not just, it's not just like a small station. This is the network. Peter Jennings, of course, is a respected mainstay of broadcast journalism.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, I'm actually kind of, at first, I would think, this is great.
Yeah.
This is fantastic that ABC is willing to tackle something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen it tackled on Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen specials on History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen specials on, the Learning or Discovery. We've seen those.
Yeah.
Those are satellite channels. Not everybody has
access
satellite,
to them,
or cable. So suddenly when ABC says something like this, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I mean, that's my first instinct was this is awesome because it's going to get UFOs, off of National Enquirer and into people's television sets, and sitting on the couch
which
watching
that, TV. Exposure-wise, that's great.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's my first instinct.
Well, we all know, as I know Mark is, he's hinting to, is what's going on.
Something else is
what's
going on.
What's going on here? Why is this happening the way it is? What? Give us
and
the meat.
And I want to know.
Give us the meat, Mark. I really want to know this.
Well, we got to go back and say, where did all this management of the media come from? And it really started back during the Second World War. And I'm not going to bore you with a lot of history here, but it's important to understand that that's when the propaganda machine really came into play.
Mm-hmm.
And they learned how to go and manage the news at that time. With all due respect, they were trying to go and win the war, and it was a really good undertaking, but they really learned how to manage the news, not only to give the American public what they wanted, but also to give the enemy hints that they wanted to give them, and then to tell what they wanted to tell what they didn't want to tell, and misinformation and all kinds of stuff going on. So over the last, 50 years now?
Yeah.
They have perfected that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to look at this ABC special in the light of the fact that this is a propaganda effort, and that's all it is. And you got to say, okay, now the media goes and cooperates with the government because that's its source of news.
Absolutely.
And you got to say, okay, now what were they trying to do here? And my take is that they were trying to go. First of all, the portrayal here was in a large part. They would present something, testimony from people that had seen UFOs, and they had a little footage and all this kind of stuff. And then Peter Jennings would come on and say, well, there are those that believe in the myth. And he kept saying myth, the myth of Roswell, the myth. And he was driving that home. And then they would immediately put on four or five people in a row that have the scientific evidence that there couldn't possibly be this type of thing happening, because we don't have any bodies, we don't have any material, we don't really have any good photographs, we don't have anything. All we've got is a testimony of a bunch of people that believe in the myth.
Exactly.
And did they have Stanley Friedman?
That's what went on.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is like I didn't get to see it, unfortunately. That's the problem. But I wanted to ask you, you know, how on the scale we got true and not true on this little scale, right? We got a little arm going back and forth. How did they slant that? I was curious about that. And it sounds like they kind of slanted it towards not true.
Slanted it towards patently false.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, and
so you don't get to make up your own mind.
No,
they
presented it, and then they. It's like they presented it, and then they knocked it down.
Okay, and that's what I thought was going to happen too. That's when I heard this was going to come on, I'm like, well, first of all, there's going to be some reason for this, and second of all, they're going to walk all over it anyways. It's a propaganda machine. I agree, Mark.
Why now?
Yeah, what's the timing? I don't understand the timing. Why would they do that?
That's
now?
My question. Why now? They've not been talking about it for 50 years. So why all of a sudden 2005? In February or March of 2005, do they do this now?
Well, that's why we need to have a longer time to really explore this
as to
why now. You got to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah,
there are so many things going on in terms of the true transition that's taking place of this planet, and I mean, I'm getting this information from all over the place, and so I think that what's happening is the government and the media is finally waking up to the fact that, hey, there's some real changes going on here. You know, maybe we better go, and instead of being on the defense, we better get on the offense. So I think this was the first step in the offense of them going and saying, we'll tell you what we want you to believe about UFOs.
With the mindset.
So that when they eventually show up, you can know what you're supposed to go and believe, and how you're supposed to react, and all this kind of stuff. We're going to go and tell you how to do this.
And that's with the mindset that, well, you know, well, you people don't, if I was to go to somebody from ABC and go, you know, you people put out crap, okay? You people put out crap. You don't talk, you know, I don't care about, you know, so who's going out with whose boyfriends, brothers, sisters, ex-aunt, whatever. You guys put out crap. That's what my opinion is. They're going to go, well, geez, you know, just put on a UFO special. Come on. Which is a classic case of enlightened self-interest, in my opinion. But let's go, okay, well, we're telling the truth. Look what we're doing. We just gave you a big two-hour UFO special with Peter Jennings. Well, and that's the thing. On the surface, it looks great. I agree. Wonderful. Hey, if you didn't think any further than your nose, you'd go, well, that's really wonderful. They're waking up. They're starting to tell the public the truth. Rah, 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 right?
But if you look into it
and you think about what you're watching for a second, outside of the commercials, right? You're going to see.
Oh, they
that.
Had plenty of those.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure
oh,
they
yeah.
did.
Oh, yeah. And it was, you know. So, but again, the whole thrust on this is we, ABC, are going to tell you what to believe here.
Exactly.
And in general, we're going to tell you that there's no scientific evidence that this stuff couldn't possibly be true, because we don't have any hard, cold facts. And the people, you know, that are giving testimony here about what they've seen, what they've been involved in, all the direct contact they've had and all this type of thing. Well, that's kind of myth. You know, it's not, these scientific people, you know, we're still searching for signs of extraterrestrial life with these big radio telescopes. We haven't found any yet, so therefore there obviously isn't going to be any.
Yeah. Where's the bodies at? Well, you got them. We don't have the bodies. How can we have them when you have them already? And that's exactly the thing I thought about when you made that statement, Mark, was that. Well, there's no bodies. There's no proof. There's no bodies of this crash. And well, yeah, it's because you took them as soon as they hit the ground. And there's people that are talking about that going, look, I was out there. I've seen special upon special. Unfortunately, I can't name names. I have them at home. And people going, look, I was out there cruising around, and this thing crashed. We're just talking about Roswell, which is obviously the biggest name in this particular,
yeah,
this particular thing.
It started it all.
I saw these things. I saw something come down. And as soon as I asked somebody, you didn't see anything, all right? And we'll bury you out there if you do tell somebody you saw something. There's handfuls of people talking about that right now.
Yeah, and, and you know, people have had, and we're talking now, millions of people have had contact.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of people all over the world. And we can go down, you know, the litany of all the different great events of contact, and you can go to my website, UFO-truth.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can see on there, you poke around a little bit, and you can see all of the events of contact. And then also on that same website, you know, I'm now posting all the events of UFO sightings and all that kind of thing from around the world. We update that daily.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets updated daily with, you know, India, China, Pakistan, Mexico, South America, Canada, Australia. It just goes on and on and on. And so there's plenty of evidence out there. But this special was, again, we, ABC, are going to tell you what to believe here, because we're showing you Peter Jennings, which is our most credible reporter.
Mm-hmm.
The anchor of the evening news. If you can't believe Peter Jennings, who can you believe, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I loved it. You know, if you talk to the people who are really knowledgeable in this field, they will just dump all over that special. Now, then you talk to people that are just kind of curious, just beginning to poke into this, and they said, oh, that was so wonderful mm-hmm. for ABC to do that, to really tell us the truth about all this stuff. So it's a matter of how well educated are you,
exactly.
how well versed are you in what the real's going on as to how you took this whole show. So I think they accomplished their objective beautifully. They did it. They pulled it off.
That's exactly what I was saying before.
Majority of people still don't have any, you know, concrete evidence in their own mind. They haven't seen anything. They haven't experienced anything. They probably haven't read a whole lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't listened to radio programs like yours. And so they're going to take Peter Jennings.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Like I said, if you only know as far as in front of you, as in front of your nose on this topic or this subject, you're not going to really, you're just going to take it for what it is. And that's what you just said.
80% of the people get their news from television. You know,
no.
So here's a highly credible source, Peter Jennings. I'll tell you, this is myth, you know. There's no scientific evidence.
Did they happen to have, like, Stanton Friedman on or any?
They did. They had Friedman on. They had a lot of notable people on there. But then they, you know, they put Stanton Friedman on, and he would talk for 15 seconds, and then they would put a scientist on that would say, well, you know, there's really no evidence of any of this, and
exactly.
he would talk for a minute.
Yeah. I know.
So that was the game that got played.
I was listening to Coast to Coast about a couple of days after that special aired on the 24th, and Art Bell was on, and he was talking about that. He's only on the weekends now, so he had to wait till the weekend, so it was like Sunday or something
right.
like that. He was discussing it, and he's like, him and his wife were on there.
Yeah, right. They had some old footage of Art Bell.
Yeah, and he said the same thing. He's like, they just cut me up so much. They just ripped me apart. Even him. I mean, we're talking Coast to Coast AM now.
Right.
Which is our inspiration. And the same man who is the Elvis of the paranormal media community is
definitely.
Going, they ripped me apart on there. And he said the same exact thing we're talking about here.
But again, it's the attempt by the major media to go and manage what the American people are thinking. So it's mind control, it's thought management, it's we will tell you what we want you to believe.
Mm-hmm. That's
and you
why
damn well better believe it, because hey, we're the credible source. After all, we're the ones that are on the ground reporting about the war in Iraq. And if we can do that, we can certainly deal with something like this.
And that's, you know, this whole conversation we've been having here, I thought of one thing, actually, that really kind of sums it up. And it's a film that I saw, it came out about 10 years ago now, but it was a film called Starship Troopers,
mm-hmm.
which was an actual adaptation of an older film that... It was more or less, it was a satirical kind of view in a way. It was a serious film, but if you kind of got a good laugh out of it, because as you watched, you'd see these people getting their heads blown off by these eight-armed monsters on some planet outside of our solar system, right? And then they'd pawn off to Earth saying, with the news on Earth, right, going, our soldiers are doing so wonderful. And they'd only show you footage of them actually killing the enemy, so to say. And they were like, you know, the music they played behind it was like, you know,
patriotic and fighting, real
rah, 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 go get them, get them, go get them.
Well, they were trying to enlist the humans into the battle.
Yeah.
So they had to work them up.
Exactly. They had to get the, they had to, and in this case, it wouldn't be the American public. It was
the United
world public. They had to get them behind this war they were having. And as far as the Middle East goes right now, we see the same thing. We see the same thing going on right now. People, rah, rah, rah. We'll show you our victories. We'll show you this. But we won't show you anything else. We're going to tell you how you should think about this war.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes for the special.
That's the thing. If they do it for the paranormal, if they do it for UFOs,
yeah,
right, you know they're doing it for everything.
Exactly.
Well, if they did it for 9/11, and if they did it for the election, and on and on and on, you know, then they're doing it for the UFO thing.
It's
all part of that same mix, and it just goes on and on. Now, you know, the reason, the motivation behind this is that we are shaping up here. So we're going to have a very mass exhibition of extraterrestrial contact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to happen one of these years. Now, the powers that be don't want that to happen. They simply do not want that to happen, because when that happens, then the ordinary people like you and me, not that we're ordinary, we're extraordinarily ordinary, but, you know, we are then going to be able to say, hey,
you aren't
you
the big
guys
cheese.
Have been lying to us for years.
And also, you aren't the big cheese either. You aren't the most supreme being in the universe like you want us to believe. There is something out there that is more brilliant
than
you. It's bigger than you.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that would level the playing field for a lot of people on this planet.
It levels the playing field totally. And then the ordinary people, the ones that aren't part of the elite, can kind of take over. And we can remake this place the way it ought to be.
Exactly.
And that, you know, that time is drawing closer and closer. I've been putting out my newsletters that you can get on that website of mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can find
the
website.
The website, you know, is, again, UFO-truth.com.
We have that linked on our website. You can go to that. Just look for Mark Kimmel on our past guest list. And
yep. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, you're permanently linked.
Yeah, you're permanently linked on our site. Yep. You'll go right to your site.
I can feel that link already. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, anyway, but, you know, all the indications, and they just keep coming. And they're coming from the indigenous peoples. They are coming from the ETs themselves. And then you look at the behavior of the military, the industrial complex, and you can see that they're becoming increasingly worried that this is going to happen. And then what happens to them? You know, they don't have a place. And so the ETs, and, you know, there's a few ETs out there that are cooperating with them. We've got to face up to that.
Mm-hmm.
This whole gang is very, very concerned about the fact that this is not good. You know, we might get shown up, and then the people won't believe our line anymore. Then what are we going to do? What happens to our money and power and all that kind of stuff? So they're very concerned, so this ABC special was kind of the first shot, if you will, in, I think, what will become an increasing propaganda effort along these lines.
And that's what people need to keep their eyes on right there.
It doesn't take a negligible amount of resources to put a two-hour ABC special on.
No, it just takes some tapes and a good mixing guy.
Well, no, it takes
together. Let's go.
No, it takes a whole movement.
Oh yeah.
Because
well, you're saying that the physical act though, it's like
you've got to get the physical act. Yeah, yeah, but no, I mean they plan these things for months.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
In boardrooms, in cafeterias, on golf courses, they plan these things. They don't just like, oh, I have an idea. Next week, why don't we have Peter Jennings talk about UFOs? Oh, okay, get someone on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
They've been taping that for almost a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movement.
We've
known it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going, you know, on and on and on forever. Almost a year now. They interviewed people back in July of last year.
Mm-hmm.
For this thing. So it's been going on, you know. And so you're right, and it costs millions of dollars to put one of these together too. You got to get, you know, you got film crews all over the country, and you got to get the right people in the right spot, and so it was a big production. And so yes, it was very well thought out, and again, it was extremely well done in terms of a propaganda effort that instead of saying that these ETs are evil, it was like, well, they really don't exist. It's just kind of a myth.
Well, the one thing I want people to watch out for that are listening to this show, whether it's the live show or the archive or whatever, is just what you said a second ago, Mark. There's going to be an increasing number of these broadcasts being put on the major media. And that's what I, myself, am going to be watching out for now. I'm going to be sitting like a hawk on my log going, okay, just waiting for the next one to come out. And then I'm going to look at how long it took for them to get that out. And then I'm going to make sure, because I like I said, I didn't see it, unfortunately, but I had a good idea of what was going to be happening already. And Mark, you confirmed that for me anyways. Thank you. But what I want our listeners to keep in mind here is just what Mark said. We're going to see these things becoming more frequent in the media, as far as the large media.
So they're starting their brainwashing effort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Great.
Mark, we got to drop off, unfortunately, Mark. I apologize. But thank you for coming on the show, though. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, it's always my pleasure. And, you know, you guys are doing a great service.
Thank you.
And I want you to understand that. You are telling the truth.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's nice to hear it from people like you. It really makes everything we do here
worth it. Because it's you guys out in the trenches.
Yeah. We're just in our basement, so we're safe here in our basement.
Yeah.
You guys are actually out there doing this.
You guys out there make all of this possible, so it goes both ways.
Yeah,
so
it really
thank
does.
You so much, Mark.
Mark, we're going to have you on real soon. Like we talked before the show, I'm going to be getting a hold of you this week, and we'll talk it over, and we're going to have you come back on.
We'll find a time.
And we'll definitely look forward
to it.
All right.
Enjoyed it, guys.
Thanks a lot,
thank
Mark.
You
Take
very much.
Yourself. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
I love having him on. I love having Mark on the show. He, for anybody that's listened to our previous broadcast with Mark, he's just through all the crap we've had to go through this show, I mean, Mark probably ate the worst of it the first time he came on.
The very first time he came on.
But he sat like a trooper with us. I'm like,
yeah.
Mark, I'm really sorry. I apologize. He's like, no problem. You guys do what you got to do on your end.
Yeah.
And we're going to do what we got to do.
Murphy had sent a bolt of lightning.
Literally, at the house.
And it zapped the entire phone line. And at the time, we weren't going through a cable. We were going through phone lines.
Yeah, we were straight phone line. But Mark,
that phone line that was dangling and hanging for its dear life on the fence, that was what we were talking to Mark through.
Well, one thing you got to keep in mind, too, here, when we talked about this thing, and I don't want people to come get the idea after they listen to this, or whether it's live or archived or whatever, that, you know, we're presenting this information. Now, Mark presented it in what his viewpoint on this. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that watch this themselves. And honestly, I'd like to get some other viewpoints on this, too.
I
know it's been a little while after the show. It's been almost a month. But I'd like to get some other viewpoints on this via email or whatever.
Well,
you know?
I can predict some of them,
you know.
But I would love to have seen that special.
Because I want
to
get, I mean, I have my opinion, too.
Did anybody tape it?
If somebody taped it, that'd be great. I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
I would like to see it.
If somebody was.
Mail
yeah.
it to us. We'll send you a check of like $2.
Yeah, $2 for postage and handling.
I'd like to see it. I don't want to be. I don't want to come across like I'm ignorant on this, but just judging on what I've seen over the last 30 years of my life on the media, I don't expect this to be much different. And I don't want to be judgmental, and I don't want to sound like I'm coming without any information. I'm basing this on what I've dealt with before and what I've been dealing with since this stupid war in the Middle East started. As far as the propaganda is concerned, you know, I don't want to knock anyone, but I really am interested to see. I would like to see this, even after the fact. I'd like to see it myself, just so I could have a more solid foundation to work on. But I got a feeling, even after I watch it, maybe I am ignorant, maybe I am biased already. But I'm just going on what crap's been fed to me already.
Media machines.
What do you want me to do?
Media machines are churning, and that's kind of scary.
Let's take a break, though.
Yeah.
It's our next guest. We have another guest coming on.
Yeah, we have Paul Smith.
I mean, I tell you, this is a busy night for
Paul,
us.
Yeah, we're Paul Smith, remote viewer, which is just in time for our open remote viewing project.
Yeah,
if you guys haven't.
Yeah, if you guys haven't listened to that archive, we recorded an archive this past Wednesday with our buddy Vance from Trinity Science, which we released to Target ID. Now, you have about a week and a half if you want to take part in this. See, the target ID is on the site. All you need to do is take that target ID, go through some of the information there's that's some, on that page.
Yep, right? There's some preparatory material.
Absolutely. If you haven't done this before, we want to get as many people involved with this as we can.
Yes.
Do not be afraid of this. We've been stressing this and stressing this because last time we had a lot of submissions, but we want more this time. And even if the information is not that compelling, it's still amazing because it's like these people did this and they're adding to the body of evidence. And that's what we
want
to do.
That's what we want. That's what Trinity Science wants. That's what Ghostly Talk
exactly.
wants. I'm going to help.
Yeah, so am I.
Because I wasn't involved in the managerial process, so.
And by the way, all the people that have been IMing me and emailing me going, so when are you going to do yours, Scott? Stop it. I'm not telling you anything. It's none of your business. Leave me the hell alone. Maybe I am a bit paranoid, but I was a manager on one of these projects already. I did project manager on the ORVP-1 along with you, Doug.
Yep.
And I was like, even Doug, who was supposed to be working with me on this, I wouldn't tell him anything.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not telling you. Listen to the show. We have it archived. You can listen to it. I mean, Doug didn't even know the day we released the target ID. He had no idea what was going on. That's how secretive I was about it. And I'm going to treat this the exact same way as one of the participants. All you're going to know about me and Doug is that we're participating in it, and that's all you're going to find out. So stop
right.
emailing us and DMing us, asking us for information. You're not going to get any. Leave us alone.
Meanwhile, we are going to get Paul Smith
yeah.
on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
For you, and...
Take a break. Let's get out of here, Will.
Take a quickie, or a long one.
Take a long one. Let's just chill out for a minute.
Sounds great.
Smoke break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Heidi Hollis, and I think Doug and Scott are right. That is when Doug stops flirting and Scott stops coughing up hairballs in my ear.
Hey, this is Debbie from Ghostish Files, reminding you to tune in to Ghostish Files every other Saturday on www.ghostishfiles.net.tc. at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. Oh, man, I really gotta get out of here. Later.
presenting My Ethereal Anti-Drug.
Yeah, this is Reverend Ed Kraft. I want to thank you for listening tonight. This is Ghostly Talk Radio. And please visit me at my website at Magic Mind. That's Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, Mind. .wickawebsites.com.
The future of America is at stake, and frankly, many Americans are frightened at the direction we're taking.
Break was just so nice.
I needed that break.
I needed to step up too. We've been working with Vance West for a while.
Yes.
That's our man. That's our buddy from Florida.
Vance West, TrinityScience.com.
Yeah, great guy. He's and obviously, if you don't know, I mean, if you listen to this show, but you listen to it under a rock, you're not going to know about the ORVP2 that we're doing, Open Remote Viewing Project 2 that we're doing. We've done one of these before, obviously. That's why it's number 2, Electric Boogaloo. That's
right.
The actual name for
yeah.
it now, right?
That's the name.
And this has been a great little project. We talked about it in the last segment for a second. We're going to talk about it in this segment for a second, too. That's a tongue twister right there. but through working with Vance asked us, suggested to us, that we have one of his other friends on, who we found fascinating, who was an actual, like, this gentleman is in the mix. This is a real... Vance, I think Vance is incredible. He always knocks himself when we talk to him. He always knocks himself on the air. Oh, you know, I've only been doing this for a couple of years. But, I mean, the analysis he does, the work he does, he's got his, like we were talking in the last segment with Mark, his feet are in the trenches at all times, just
yeah.
working on this thing.
Working and working on it.
And we
it.
Aspire
yep.
to people like that, because we're down here bombarded every week with something different, going, okay, you know, what do I believe this week, right? but we love having these people on, because these are people that have taken a path and they went with it.
And that's something I admire. I said that about Pat Fitzhugh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with Bell Witch.
Yeah.
And I just admire that. Too.
All
these folks, yeah.
They dedicate their lives to studying this one thing. We get a lot out of what we do. We think it's great, but sometimes, like, God, yeah, I really would like to get involved with something here.
Right.
But next week, we got to move on to something different. That's our path, though.
That's the path we chose, or we have.
Absolutely. So, we got Paul Smith on the line. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
So far, so good.
Nothing's blown up yet. We're doing pretty good.
Usually we have Murphy in studio of Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, this week I think he must be on the other side of the planet. Just temporarily.
He's living here.
Oh, well, okay.
If you say it too loud, he might hear you and come back.
Yeah.
So don't say another word about Murphy. We don't say the M word down here. No more.
Yeah. The M who must not be named, then.
Paul, you are. I mean, just to get it out there, you've been doing this for a very long time as far as the practice of remote viewing.
Mm-hmm. Close on to 22 years now.
22 years now. Just to get started on this, what sparked your interest? Because this is a topic on our show that we find fascinating, obviously, because we dedicate a lot of our time to this. We spend a lot of overtime doing additional shows with Vance to work on this project we're working on that we discussed, a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
When you started out, what was your motivational factor? How did this come about, really?
Well, nothing sparked my interest. I didn't even know it existed.
Okay.
If it found me. I was working a Middle East desk position at Fort Meade, Maryland as an Army intelligence captain.
Okay.
And some folks that I knew came in, but I didn't know what they did, came and knocked on my door essentially and said, you know, we've been watching you and we think you might be a good candidate for what we're doing. And I say, what is that? And they say, we can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
But we need to take some of these tests. And so I took the test and I guess I scored where they wanted me to.
Okay.
And then they told me, and I had never heard of remote viewing until they they told me in this Men in Black moment, you know, where they read me under this ultra secret program, and I was totally blown away, but extremely interested.
So you had no idea you really had this ability. I mean, you just kind of were thrown into it, more or less.
No, in fact, I was a bit skeptical. I had tried to do this in a junior high science fair project, not remote viewing per se, but, you know, the Zener cards, the wavy lines and the stars and all that stuff, right, you know, to take this experiment to try and see if, you transmit the square-shaped card to someone's mind, something like that. It's been a total failure.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, at that point, I think there's nothing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when these guys sit me down and say, hey, we want you to spy on the Soviets using only the powers of your own mind, I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking, one, the Army's got a program in it, which means they're spending money and taking time, and that led to the inference that there must be something to it after all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know we've talked to so many people. I mean, I have to ask this before we go any further. Did you ever, I don't know if you've ever had any contact with Ed Dames?
Oh, yeah. He trained with us when we went out to SRI, Stanford Research Institute, to get our first training in remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later, he actually ended up being brought into the program that I was in and spent 3 years there and then moved on to another assignment. So,
okay. Yeah,
I spent a lot of time with Ed.
I mean, we love – he's such an interesting character. We've heard both sides of the equation as far as Ed Dames is concerned. We've heard that he's a complete fake.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's
we've
all
also
over the internet,
that's
but,
all over. But, I mean,
but we've also heard him say things that
absolutely came true.
Absolutely come true.
Absolutely
so
come true.
It's really bizarre. Vance says that not all remote viewing sessions go well. Just like sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know where your keys are.
You lost your keys, you say? No.
Yeah.
Remind me to tell you about finding some keys once. Of course, that's not remote viewing, that's dowsing, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
And not all of them do work. It's a lot like many psychological, talking strict human psychology now, many psychological phenomena where, the things that we think we know about the human mind, if you delve into the psychological research behind them, and I'm talking about mainstream science here, you'll find that they're considered to be part of the human behavior pattern based on a 70% result. In other words, there are always these outliers that don't correlate with the rest of the behavior, right? And so they, not even regular human psychology is 100%. So,
and that's supposed to be a solid science,
and remote
too.
Viewing isn't that way either. Now, there's a whole lot more to it than that, but I don't want to bore you with it.
But it does give us an idea that that remote viewing is being a science of the mind should not be held to 100% standard.
Well, it's still in its infancy.
And
it's still,
I mean, yeah, look how young it is.
It's still
well. Tell me what in human behavior is held to 100% standard.
Exactly. Nothing.
I know one moment I can be as happy as a lark, and then the next moment I could just be like absolutely wanting to
just depressed.
Slam my door and hide away from the world for hours on end.
Well,
so,
let's hope you wait till after the show's over for that.
I do. Yes, I always wait for that. So that's 100%. I always wait till after the show.
But that's exactly the thing right there, is that human nature cannot, I mean, we try to, through psychology, we try to predict what this person's going to do according to statistics and observation, but really when it comes down to it, I mean, I think everybody down here and even yourself, Paul, know that people generally are unpredictable sometimes. You really can't, people do things that I don't understand.
Yeah.
They do things that don't follow logic.
Well, they do things they don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that comes to me is that if, I know English. I learned English from, observing my parents before I could even speak, and then, growing up through the school system.
Yeah.
English is my primary language. And there are still times when I'm trying to think of somehow to say something, right, and I don't remember the word that I'm looking for.
Or just a statement, maybe, how to phrase it. I mean,
or how to phrase something, yeah.
That's called... Oh, darn. Never mind. Whatever.
It's got a name. But yeah, it's so and yet I speak English every single day of my life. I'm fairly decent at it.
Mm.
And there are times when I cannot even command my mind to come up with the right word or the right phrase at the time I want to use it.
And we usually do that on the air.
And it's usually, yeah, in the 2 hours between on Sunday. But
oftentimes when you're under stress, that's when you do lose. We call it choking, you know, and
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
The interesting thing about all this, now I forgot what the interesting thing about all this was.
But it is not 100%, and I'm glad that we got that out.
We'll spend the next hour and a half forgetting everything now.
Yeah. So what are we talking
about? Say.
What was that?
I remember what I was going to say now. The thing about remote viewing is that you're dealing here, and I said there's a little more to it than we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The thing with remote viewing is you're dealing with the threshold of human perception. You're dealing with a low bandwidth phenomenon, you know. There's many interesting things. You'll hear me say this a lot. But with human perception, our minds, let's say the brains, I guess is better, receive tens of millions of data bits every instant, you know, every second, from all the different nerve endings that fire in our bodies, from the eyes to the skin to wherever. Only approximately 40 data bits per second make it into our conscious awareness.
And the rest
you
of
figure
them...
the ratio on that, and it's infinitesimal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tiny ratio of information actually gets there.
Yeah.
Remote viewing, because it competes with that, the information comes in also, like the rest of our senses, through what we would call subconscious, right? That's competing with those 40 bits. And so you only end up with a little bit of information in any given moment that's coming in through what we call the signal line.
A fraction of a fraction of the amount
exactly.
of information available to you.
Consequently, you're going to be dealing with fairly small amount of information, and consequently, you know, your mind doesn't have a lot to work on. Consequently, you frequently will make the wrong guesses about what the information is that's being provided to you.
Okay, so I mean, it's a fraction of a fraction, like you said, Doug.
Right,
and that scares me.
And you've got to learn to pay attention to it. Is all.
Well, that's the bottom line right there. That's where it is. Is paying attention.
Right.
Yep.
You have to try and figure out what is flight of fancy versus what is information coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is your mind wandering versus the actual information coming in, and you've got to learn to feel that and know that mm-hmm. as you're doing it. Like there's times when you're dreaming, and you have absolutely no idea that it's a dream. You really honestly to your brain you think that you are really awake and wandering around and acting like Superman or whatever, and it has absolutely, you know, you're just, it's so incredibly real.
It makes perfect sense at the time, too.
Right, and it makes great sense at the time that you're, you know, leaping from building to building. But but when you wake up, you're like, oh my gosh, all that fun was a dream, you know, and
you have something to compare it to. When we're asleep, we're in an unconscious state. Whatever cognitive processes are going on there that produce this dream, we don't remember being awake, and so we don't have anything to compare it to, and it seems real. But once you have a real state compared to this non-real state, well, it is real in a certain sense, but then you can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's things, that, as far as dreaming goes, I mean, that's kind of an extreme example that Doug threw out. But there's sometimes when I dream, I know I've known this, I think we discussed this a little bit, where there'll be a situation I'm in that really isn't out of the ordinary. It's just something, a regular, everyday thing that I do. Like, I'm sitting at work doing something. But there is a certain overlaying idea around that scenario that, at the time, feels really good. It makes perfect sense. Like, okay, I'm at work, but I am the God of all creation. I run the whole place. I run the whole plant that I work at.
Isn't that some kind of psychosis?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, I mean, it's the mindset where, like, okay, mm-hmm. normally when I'm at work, I'm a bean counter, right? Okay, mm-hmm. so I'm just a regular everyday guy, goes to work, right? Mm-hmm. But in the dream, though, it's the same exact thing. Same stuff, same office, same chair, same computer, but I'm the boss now. And I'm like, this is great. I have to do this. And then I wake up and I'm like, okay, time to go to work and be the boss. Wait a minute, I'm not the boss. I'm not the boss at all. It's a little more subtle. If you can see
well, my dreams similar to that are somewhat different in that usually I am...
You are actually the boss, and it's just the other way around.
Now, wait a minute, guys. Before you get carried away, I got to warn you that most third parties find someone recounting their dreams one of the most boring things they can experience. So with that information, go ahead with your story.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Doug.
No, for some reason I've forgotten my dream now.
It's just those little ideas.
By the way, I want to say that I've read through Vance's. Vance emailed me his description of his, you know, his experiment he's doing. What do you call it? ORV?
Open Remote Viewing Project, yeah.
Yes, we're trying to get as many people to participate as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have to say that it looks like a well-constructed project. I'm impressed with how he's put it together.
Mm-hmm. That's all Vance. Yeah,
all Vance
worked on it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out. So,
well, if you did, we left it up on the site too, Paul. There's the actual results from the Open Remote Viewing Project Part 1.
And I'm waiting until I get DSL before I go look at those kinds of things.
Good idea.
Because that's up there. I mean, if you're somewhere else or whatever and you feel like looking at that, that's up there from the first project that you can look at those results.
Oh, I'll have to look at it. That could be cool.
Because we found, I mean, as far as those results, we say it over and over again, we found the results just amazing.
We were shocked.
We were very shocked.
Absolutely shocked. And in that particular, in ORVP 1, Vance was, you know, Vance is the analyst. Scott Ellen and myself were the project managers. So this time we made sure that we didn't have a title, so that we could participate if we wanted to.
Yeah,
so we're
taking part in this ourselves.
Yeah, Will is the manager now.
Okay, well, that's good. And, you know, one of the complaints I always have, you know, you get on these shows, both TV and radio and whatever, and people there want you to do something psychic for them, you know. And, you know, that's like telling somebody, okay, we want you to do the double slit experiment in physics right here on this tabletop so that we can see that you're really telling the truth. You know? And it just shows, you know, they got the wrong understanding of what this is all about. What you guys are doing, obviously it's not going to be something you can satisfy somebody's curiosity. You don't have instant gratification here in a matter of 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But what you are doing is a much more credible approach to this, where you are doing a legitimate experiment, and you are going to, you know, of course, people have to trust, you know, they can't see on the radio what you're up to, but they have to trust that you're doing it the way you said, and I think we can rely on that. And what you're doing is setting up a legitimate experiment, and the results you can count on being gained in a legitimate way, and it's no kind of parlor magic or anything like that. You know,
I mean,
I think that's great.
We can only assure, and we discussed that a little bit, you know, when we've done these shows just on the ORVP themselves, and it's always been that we're like, look, there's no tricks going on here.
Right.
We're just taking the data that we're getting from you, and Vance analyzes it, throws it up on the site. And that's it. It's very. I mean, aside from all the protocols that freak me out, like all these double blind, you know, experiment bits and all this stuff, which scares me half to death. I'm afraid I'm going to say one stupid little thing.
Yeah, you just
blow the whole thing.
And it turns out you actually know very little of the entire project.
I know nothing of it.
Well, we know nothing of this one, but of ORVP1, we just knew that we had to do the selection of the envelope and you know, things like that.
But there's no, like Paul said, there is no tricks going on. We just take the data, throw it up there, and we talk about it.
Now, here's one thing that people might criticize you on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just to let you know.
Okay.
A skeptic is likely to come up and say, well, you know, you're gonna fall prey to the file drawer problem, where what you do is you'll find a couple of sessions that really match very closely with the target is and post those, and then who knows how many don't even have any relationship to it. You're shoving those away, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's no point in showing a target or a session that doesn't match the target. It missed and can miss in any of a million different ways.
Well, see, that's a difference, though. That's the difference with that, Paul. Because the last time, I think we had like 10 or 12 submissions or something like that.
Right.
Uh-huh. We took all those. I mean, Vance took all those.
Yeah, there you go. Of course, if you have millions, that becomes hard to do. But if you have a manageable number, that's how you avoid the file drawer problem, is you post all your data. You say, look, here it is. You be your own judge.
And there were a few outside of what the actual target was.
But
was
I
no
think
problem.
That what's interesting, though, and Paul, you can talk about this, is that I felt in that first project that a lot of the submissions, some of them were off if you look at the overall thing, but a lot of them had some element. Now, is there a case that can be made by skeptics or by, you know, anybody, by, you know, skeptics or practitioners or anything, that, okay, you could sit down with any given target. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the moon, okay? And then you sit down, and no matter what, in, you know, two or three pages of writing, you're going to come up with some element that sort of matches the moon.
Yeah.
Is there, like, any possibility that... Because I was surprised at how close a lot of the ones were.
Well,
and I was surprised
always,
that all of them had some element.
Yeah, the one thing... I don't know, there's probably zillions of things, but one thing that you need to bear in mind, of course, is that there's nothing new under the sun, you might say. There is only a limited number of possible shapes things can be, and combinations of shapes things can be. There's only a limited set of colors. I mean, you know, obviously a potential infinite amount of colors, but they all fall into a certain set of finite categories, right?
Right.
And so you're going to have overlap from target to target, and therefore you could potentially pick up bits and pieces. But when you have an infinite target pool, which you guys do essentially, I mean, it could have been, I don't know what kind of targets Vance is picking. I don't know if he's using just photos or if he's picking photos of something that you're supposed to describe.
We don't know either.
No, we don't.
We know the last one was a photo, but...
Well, let's go with the standard thing where you're actually, you know, you're trying to remote view some place on the globe, right, on the surface of the globe.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking of a practically infinite target set. It could be the Taj Mahal, it could be the Eiffel Tower, it could be, you know, some canyon nobody's got to put a name on. It could be a building in Yonkers. It could be who knows what. You know,
exactly.
It could be anything. So when the viewers come up and consistently describe. You know, a large percentage of the session is very accurately representative of the particular target that is designated and is not, let's say it's the Eiffel Tower, they've got crisscrossing numbers, their description is fairly consistent with the Eiffel Tower, and it is not consistent with the Gobi Desert.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fairly strong indicator something's going on, seems to me.
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, we felt that on the first project, though.
Mm-hmm.
We really did. I mean, I really said... Now, this is, and I don't want to say eerie in a negative sense, but I'm like, this is very eerie. There were a few, like we said, and we posted everything. Vance got everything that he got in, we put up on the site. And what happened, I mean, there was a few that were just kind of outside going, oh, well, you know, they had a bad night, whatever. I mean, we didn't knock anybody for the work we commended them for the work they brought in, whether it was wrong or right.
Well, at least they're willing to risk it. You know,
exactly.
And that's one of the drawbacks to people trying to learn remote viewing is if they have a fear of failure. If they absolutely have to be right, if you have to absolutely be right, don't even bother trying to learn remote viewing.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be right all the time. And if you're so married to the idea of being right and not getting it wrong, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to let go of this ego investment and being right all the time. And once you do that, you'll actually start succeeding more often.
Well, that's the thing we learned.
That's really neat.
That's what we've learned, though, from just doing the small amount of work we've done with it, is that it's a massive discipline to do this. It's a massive discipline just on that small element right there by itself going, look, I can't be right all the time. I'm going to be wrong. I have to learn to accept that and try to learn from that. Which, I mean, I suggest that for anything you do, but there's just some people out there that have that, and it's not, that don't make them a bad person necessarily. It's just, like you said, it's just part of their ego. They have to be right all the time.
Well, it's not just that, it's part of our culture. I mean, the goal is, you go to school, the idea is to get every question right on the test. Very few people do that, but that's at least what's held out to them as the ideal.
Yeah.
You know? And we learn that in our culture, and it's not bad in a normal setting. Where it becomes bad is a situation where it gets in the way of you learning how to do something.
Exactly, exactly. One of the most compelling aspects of this thing is that when you're actually doing this work, and this is what I want to throw out for this. We're going to take a quick break here just because we gotta go outside and get some air.
you're off to work too.
Well, pretty soon.
Okay.
But one of the most compelling aspects that I want to get out there to people from to think about is when you're actually, because we did this project. Well, Vance sent it over to us to have us look at it, and it was the one they actually did. They remote viewed one of those situations right there. They remote viewed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That was what the idea was, right?
That's that wasn't open remote
that
viewing.
Wasn't
that
open
was a
remote
side
viewing.
Project.
It was just something that, but we had it up on the site for a while for people to check out, right?
Yeah, that was a project of Vance's and his groups.
Well,
yeah.
And my biggest gripe with this thing was Vance. Okay, look,
well, it was the death event.
Yeah,
because you have to specify exactly.
But still, that, though, even with the death event, that's what he had it termed as, the death event, was, okay, we got somebody sitting here remote viewing, and they're kind of getting some ideas down, getting some impressions. And the thing I was griping about the whole time we talked about this on the show, and I'm like, Vance, come on, man. They were all American people that were doing this project. And if you live in America, you're going to be exposed to this term called Christianity, right? And you're going to be bombarded by that. That's fine, right? But when you're down there working on this thing,
you draw a big T.
You draw a big T, right? Okay, what's going on here? Now, my brain's going to go, oh, it's cross, cool, I got it, I'm going to be right. The one thing that Vance mentioned, and I'm sure we're going to hear more on that from you too, Paul, is that when you're doing this work, now this wasn't a blind target, though. Well, no, it wasn't. It was blind to his fault.
He was not blind to him. He knew what it was.
Yeah, okay.
But he wasn't working it. His He tasked it, but the viewers that he tasked on it were blind.
Yes, exactly. But, so it wasn't a double blind. It was, you know.
Yeah, the problem with it, though, is like
it was
this
a
idea.
Project.
It was a project for him, but you start drawing this T, and you're like, okay, that looks like a crucifix. Yeah, let's draw this thing on there. And all that.
Right,
exactly.
Jumping to conclusion.
The inference comes in, and this is what we call analytical overlay, which I actually talk quite a bit about in my book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea where the left brain gets this little bit of information in,
mm-hmm.
and its job, the left brain's job, is to interpret the data and determine whether it's a threat, an opportunity, or something else, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it gets a little bit of information, not enough to make a really reasoned judgment on, but enough to jump to a conclusion, and it does. You know, but in this case, it happens the conclusion is right because that symbol means so much. It conveys a whole lot of information with it.
Mm-hmm.
It proceeds then to unload everything you already know about the crucifixion, or
mm-hmm.
think you know about the crucifixion,
mm-hmm.
and you proceed then to give the story as you understand it, and it isn't being psychic at all.
Yeah. Well, but we discussed that pretty in depth to the effect that, listen, that's part of the discipline right there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you can't make these conclusions. You can't make these inferences when you're doing this. You just have to look at it for what it is,
mm-hmm.
and then submit your data.
That's right. And that was one of the biggest things in learning remote viewing is how to do exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I teach folks how to do it, that we spend most of our time focusing on how to not jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
You know, on this stuff.
And that's for me, that was the most compelling aspect. It's like, oh, man, I had to drop every single inhibition I had. In order to do this effectively,
conclusion.
Even
yeah.
if I'm wrong, even to do this effectively, I think, is to drop all that. And for me, oh, geez, it's going to be a mess. Let's take a quick break.
And then we'll ask Paul, after the break, more about what he does and what excites him about remote viewing. And we'll ask you some stuff about your own, like what you do and why and how and how much fun you have doing it. Does that sound cool?
That sounds great.
All right. But first, we're going to take a break.
Yep.
And we'll be right back with more from Paul
Smith.